So we're talking New Year's resolutions. My resolution is to quit soda, and my other resolution was to start running again. Josie, what were some of your resolutions?
Never smoke cigarettes and never, ever, 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 ever drink soda.
What else?
Never touch candles, never touch wires.
I think of a resolution as, well, there's a couple ways to think of it. One is maybe you want to try something new. Like, hey, my New Year's resolution is to learn karate, you know, or to learn how to ride a bike or play the saxophone. Or maybe it's, hey, you know what, I'm going to go to bed a little earlier every night, or I'm going to be kinder to people. So there's a lot of different types of resolutions. What's another one that you might have?
Never.
It doesn't have to be a never thing. It can be a, hey, you know what? This year, I'm going to watch a little less TV. Or maybe I'm going to watch a little more TV because I don't watch any. You know, those are just examples. But it doesn't always have to be a never.
I'm never going to snip my finger.
You're never going to snip your finger? What do you mean?
Snip my finger with scissors.
Pretty good resolution. Okay. Thanks for sharing them.
I actually never, ever, 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 ever gonna smoke cigarettes.
That's a great.
Because it's good. It's not good for your heart, or it's not good for your lungs.
That's true.
It's not good for your brain.
Mm-mm. I got a good New Year's resolution.
It's not good for your ears. It's not good for your eyes.
I've got a good resolution for you.
What?
Chew with your mouth closed.
What?
Chew with your mouth closed. That's one you can start on right now.
Okay.
Busted. Much better. Hey!
Okay. Happy 2020. Can you believe it? It's 2020. How many of you are excited for the new year? We got one hand back here. Wow, that's exciting there. So how many of you have made any New Year's resolutions? Have you made New Year's resolutions? Anybody you want to share? Any resolutions out there? All right. She's going to try to start walking.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm going to say I am. I'm going to
give you the keys to your car. I'll make sure you start walking.
When I was growing up, when I was a young guy, I remember making a big list of resolutions. Anybody ever do this? And you would make this big list and you'd start your year. The drawback to New Year's resolutions is they only last for a while, right? On the average, it's about 2 to 3 months. You have followed through. The gym memberships go up in January, you know. And so they last for a couple months, and then you're back to your normal routine. I think the older we get, the less likely we are to make a big list of New Year's resolutions. And I think one of the main reasons that we don't is because we're already doing good enough. I feel like I'm kind of just doing good enough. I'm doing good enough on my job. I mean, I still have a job, don't I? I'm not being fired, right? So I'm doing good enough. And so I'm going to continue to work my job and continue to do the best I can at my job and just make sure the boss is happy. As long as I'm not fired, I'm doing good enough. I'm doing good enough in my marriage. I've been married for 40 years. Have to be doing pretty good enough. And at present, my wife is not mad at me, right? So, got to be doing pretty good. Just good enough. Well, that kind of thinking also gets into the church. I'm doing good enough. After all, I go to church quite a bit. And I kind of read my Bible occasionally, and sometimes I pray. I mean, I help out when I can. I'm doing good enough. There's an old preacher I was listening to. His name was S.M. Lockridge. He's an old school. He's a preacher from the past. He's a powerful black preacher from the past. And I encourage you to pull up a sermon of his on YouTube. It's called God's Holding Pattern. And in this sermon, it's a very powerful sermon, he points out that too many Christians are stuck in a holding pattern in their faith. So I want to impress on you today that just doing good enough is not good enough for God. Luke chapter 12, this is the next slide. Luke 12:48, Jesus said, "From everyone to whom much is given, much will be expected." This is a spiritual principle throughout the Bible. God created us to grow. He created us to improve, to use what we've been given, and we've all been given something to use. So just being good enough is not good enough for God. So if you find yourself thinking, I'm fine, I'm not going to worry about doing any improving this year, I want to challenge you to rethink this, because God expects you to continue to do better. He expects you to grow, each one of us, myself included. Now, the problem of just thinking that everything is good enough is not a new problem. In fact, the writer of Hebrews is very open about this problem in his readers. Hebrews is kind of a complex letter written to Jewish Christians. So if you ever read it, there's a lot of illustrations that come from the Old Testament. And in Hebrews chapter 5, he teaches about Jesus being our high priest and how he relates to us through his suffering. And in verse 10, he says that he was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And then instead of explaining any further, he tells them, I cannot tell you any more about this, and it's your fault that I can't tell you. So I want you to look at this scripture with me here in Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What was the problem? Verse 11, the King James says, you are dull of hearing. I thought about bringing a pair of scissors up here. Have you ever had a pair of scissors that turns dull? It can't cut anything, can it? It's really not a lot of use to those scissors. It's really bad when it's a pair of fingernail clippers. They can't clip anything, hardly. Well, the writer says, here's your dull of hearing. This is a word for spiritually dull. And the NIV says it this way, you no longer try to understand. The problem is contentment. They didn't want to grow. They didn't want to learn. They felt like they were doing good enough. The word dull here is a word for being paralyzed from lack of use. So let me just bring this down to something that we all can relate to here, arthritis. Most people, I'm looking out, most of you are probably dealing with a little bit of arthritis. So you're hurting in your arthritis and you decide, listen, it's just more of a pain in the neck to have to get out and walk around. I think I'm just going to lay in my bed all day. I'm not going to get up and walk around. I'm fine. I'll just make my trip to the restroom. That's it. I'm comfortable in my bed. It hurts too much to walk around. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to lay around all day. So, what is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? You're avoiding pain. You're not hurting. What's going to happen to your muscles? they're going to start atrophying. They're going to decrease. They're going to waste away. And pretty soon, if you continue on that path, you won't even be able to walk anymore. Because the best thing you can do when you have arthritis is to move and to be active. It's the same in our spiritual walk. The writer uses an illustration we all can relate to. He says, you need milk, not solid food. Now, by this time, they've been Christians so long, they should have been mature, they should have been teaching others, but the writer says you are stuck in the infant stage. Now, every baby starts with milk. They start with a bottle. I was thinking about this as I was doing the sermon. I remember my daughter, if she was here, she'd be embarrassed. I remember when she was a little baby and I was holding her in my arms and I was feeding her the bottle. Wonderful little thing. She's so sweet, so wonderful. And she began to mature and she reached up and she started holding her own bottle. Woo! Wow. Advancing. Children advance and they grow. But what if a child decided, they were 2, 3, 4 years old, they decided, no, I'm not going to want any of that solid food, just keep me on milk. Keep me on formula. Would that stunt the growth of the child? If a child is 10 years old and they only want milk, would it really stunt their growth? I remember it was first grade. I think his name was Jimmy. And the teacher called the class together and said, Jimmy is still using a pacifier. Now, we all want to help Jimmy stop using his pacifier. So if you all can help Jimmy, if he can go a whole week without his pacifier, he's going to get a special treat. Now, I don't really know what Jimmy's problem was. He obviously had a lot of things going on in his life. But in his little mind, first grade, he thought it was completely fine to have a pacifier. He wasn't developing. To me, that's a sign of a very, very, very serious problem. The writer is telling these Christians, you're stuck. You've paralyzed yourself. You're unwilling to grow. All you want is milk. You should be growing. But you're stuck because you feel like you're just good enough. And this is very relevant today. Churches are tempted just to make things fun and easy for people. But in defense of that, the problem is people want that. So somebody says, well, is there going to be a video before the sermon? Or is there going to be new music? Is the preacher going to tell a good joke? Is there going to be real life stuff? I mean, is this going to be something that helps me at my job? Is this going to help me with my family? Is this going to help me with my marriage? I mean, I want it to be funny. I want it to be practical. I don't want it to be too serious. And if it gets too complicated, I'll just go find another church because I want it to be fun and easy. So we become content with this culture of spiritual culture of milk and cookies. Today I want to remind you that just doing good enough is not good enough for God. And as we go into the new year, I'm going to be starting a new series of challenges Christians face. So I want to challenge us in this series to do better and to grow, not to stay where we're at, but to advance as God wants us to do. So today we're going to be doing a spiritual examination of our lives. Just some questions, an overview of our spiritual place. So the first critical question I want to ask you is, where are you in your spiritual relationship with Jesus? Now the writer of Hebrews is identifying where the people are. He says you're at the infant stage in your faith. There's nothing wrong with being an infant, because that's how we all start. But the danger is in staying an infant. We determine our stage by some factors. Here's some questions to ask yourselves. How long have you been a Christian? So for me, I have been a Christian since I was 9 years old. Okay, so 42 years. I have been a Christian. Another question is concerns our knowledge. How familiar are we with the Bible? Can we find our way around the Bible? Can we explain to somebody how to become a Christian? Can we tell somebody what we believe? Can we show somebody in our Bibles where we're at? Knowledge is important. Now, a third factor is action. Do we take what we know is right and put it into action? Now, a baby that is taking a bottle is only taking in nutrients. There's no action involved, just taking the nutrients, sucking the milk. But as they get older, they start developing and they become toddlers. But toddlers become wild, don't they? Everybody wants to babysit a little baby. But when they become 2, 3, 4 years old, the babysitters are busy, right? Because if we had a room full of toddlers right now, they would be running around screaming, breaking things, and biting. There would always be the biter. You know, and that's what happens. But then they hit the school age. Now, Brenda will tell you that by that time, they're all civilized. Right. So, not exactly, right? They're still growing. They're still maturing. They're learning the right and the wrong things to do. They're starting to learn truths. And it's the same with Christians. Christians go through different phases in their faith, but sometimes a Christian doesn't grow. They remain at the toddler stage. They remain at the middle school, Sunday school stage, and they basically stay a Christian infant. So we have to determine, where am I in my spiritual development? The second question, where should you be in your spiritual relationship with Jesus? So I want to look at these verses again, and this is Hebrews 5, and I want to emphasize verses 12 through 14. I want you to listen to the words about development. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The writer not only points out where they are, but he points out where they should be. He says in verse 12, by this time you ought to be teachers. So where should you be? So I graduated right out of high school. I graduated from Bible college and I entered ministries. I've been in ministry all these years. I'm not saying that to make you feel like I'm superior. What that means is more is expected from me. I have been a Christian a long time and I have had a Bible college education. So what that means is God expects more from me because I know more. So today I'm not pointing a finger at you and saying, oh, you need to do better, and I'm so much better. I'm saying I need to do better because God is expecting things from me. Faith without works is dead. Bible knowledge and experience is not enough. Jesus told the parable of the talents. This is in Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. You might remember this parable that Jesus told. The master comes and he reports on all of the servants that he's given talents to. To one man, he gave 5 talents. And when the master checks in with the man, he says, what have you done with your money? And the man brings he brings 5 talents and he brings 5 more talents that he has produced. And the master praises him. And the second man comes, and he was given 2 talents, and so he was given 2 more. He came up with 2 more talents, had 4 talents. And he is praised, and he has moved on, and he is advanced. And the last guy was given just 1 talent, but he buried his talent. And when the master came, he dug his talent up and he presented that one talent back and he did nothing with it. Each of these people was given a talent, it says, based on their ability. So, the man that only was given one and didn't do anything with it, if you read what happens there, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. Because God expects us to use what we have been given. A mature Christian will train themselves. They will train themselves on right and wrong. And it is a challenging thing to do that. But the more we know, the more we should do. I'm going to say that one more time. The more we know, the more we are expected to do. Just being good enough is not good enough for God. These Christians, they never grew up. He's writing to Christians that have stayed the same. And there's two phrases in here that talk about how that maturity takes place. It says, by constant use and by training yourself. A mature Christian is always using their faith. They're like an athlete. They're always exercising. They're using their spiritual gifts. Spiritual maturity means there's constant progress. We're growing in knowledge. We're learning what's right and wrong is. There's never a pause in spiritual growth. Our growth needs to continue on and on. But the problem is that we become stunted and we lose interest in our faith. We have a low attention span. And we just content ourselves, even in the church, even if you're here every Sunday, there's a real temptation. The temptation is just to take knowledge in. I'm going to learn more knowledge. I'm going to learn more things. And so what we find is all we do is gain knowledge and we never put it into practice. A mature Christian, it says right here, trains themselves through prayer and through study and through service. What that means is, when you look at last year at this time, you will say, I have grown. Over the last year, I have grown and I have matured. If you've been a Christian for a long time, this sermon is a challenge to you because more is expected of you. If you are a new Christian and you haven't been a Christian that long, you still have to grow. This sermon's actually harder for people that have been Christian for a long time. The third critical question here, what concrete step will you take to move forward? The writer here says, I'd love to teach you so much more, but you're not even trying to understand. Verse 12, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths all over again. He's saying, listen, you should be advancing, but you are still stuck in your ABCs. And you still need someone to teach you the ABCs. So let's think of this practically now. How many of you think it would be wonderful if you could go back in time to seventh grade? Go back to seventh grade and you could be in school, right? That was 1 year before you met Rich. Anyway, seventh grade and you're right there and you can go to all those classes again, right? You could study history and you could study math. How many of you think that would be great to go back and study middle school? No way, right? Right, because we're advanced. We have advanced beyond that. Although I think I could probably be a better student now if I was to go back than I was in seventh grade. But we don't want to go back, right? Because we are beyond that stage. And yet sometimes we're content as a Christian to stay at a level of understanding of a seventh grader in Sunday school. We don't advance our faith. We don't grow any more than we did when we were a child. And the writer is saying here, grow up, move on, and stop being a spiritual baby. Look with me here at Hebrews 6. This is the next chapter, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, Let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. The writer says it's time to move on. It's time to move beyond elementary teachings. It's time to stop going over those same basic truths over and over. He says, take steps to move toward maturity. And he gives some basic doctrines here that young Christians should master, having a basic faith in Christ, turning away from sin, basic teachings about Christian baptism and how it's different in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and pagan religions, basic teachings on how a person goes from becoming a non-Christian to a Christian, how to have your sins forgiven, how to avoid judgment. Verse 3 is a key. And God permitting, we will do so. This means there has to be determination. What this basically means is if you want to grow, and if you are really determined, God will carry you and He will guide you to maturity. Faith is a strong belief. It's a resolution. It's a determination to find strength in God. If you want to grow, if you want to mature, it can happen, but you got to have faith that it will happen. I want to be clear, I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution here. Because that's only going to last for a couple months. 2 or 3 months, it'll be back to where you were. This is a determined faith that says, I'm moving forward, I'm growing. So what are you going to do this year to grow your faith? Maybe read a new Christian book. Maybe taking some steps to use your spiritual gift. Maybe making it a point to share your faith each week with somebody. To put what you know in your head into action. Not to just be content with being good enough. Well, what happens when a person sticks with only the easy stuff of the faith? All they know are the easy things of the Bible. All they know are the basic teachings of the Bible. They only know quick, easy solutions. What happens when you only want the easy stuff? You know what happens? You become bored. Someone says, well, the Bible's boring. The church is boring. Faith becomes boring. And it becomes easier to go other places and do other things. And pretty soon it's more fun to be on Facebook and more fun to chat with people and more fun to read your favorite author or maybe to get into YouTube. A lot of people love YouTube. I enjoy YouTube. Maybe chatting, whatever it is. There's a lot more entertaining things out there than what the Bible says. There's a real danger, though, in wandering from the faith. Because after all these warnings about being stuck in basic elementary truths of the Bible, listen to these words of warning. And this is in verses 4 through 6 of chapter 6. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance, to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. These are difficult words, and a lot of people have tried to explain them away. But there's a critical question we have to ask ourselves. Where are we spiritually? Where should we be? And are we willing to move forward in our faith? Or are we content just the way we are? I don't need to improve. I'm doing okay. If you think for a moment about, let's just take this congregation for instance. You all have been here a lot longer than I have, okay? So I want you to think back over the years And you may find, as you think about people that have been in a part of this church, there was a lot of people that were here and have attended worship on a regular basis. And you can think of a time when they were involved in all the activities of this church. And now, they don't go anywhere. It can happen. That's what Hebrews says right there. You can fall away. So this is the truth. This is the hard spiritual truth. Either we are advancing forward or we are falling backwards. Which way are you going? Are you going forward? Are you going to backward? If you start falling backwards, you are in a vulnerable condition to where you can completely fall away from the faith. It can happen, and it does happen. So today I want to challenge you to make a resolution to grow this year, to move beyond the basics. Are you going to go forward, or are you going to go backward? You're not going to stay where you are. You think you're staying where you're at? No. If you are staying where you're at, you're really going backwards. That's the reality of the Scripture. So I want to challenge you to move ahead this year, to take the challenge and to improve and to grow in Christ every day. Now please don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about giving up the old truths, because they're valuable and they're so important. And we all have to remember the beautiful story. That's our decision. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me how Jesus came to this world as a child. Tell me how he lived his life. Tell me how he went on the cross. Tell me how he raised from the grave. Tell me the story of Jesus. Those are the basic truths that we need today. So we're going to have our invitation hymn today. Let's all stand. Tell me the story of Jesus.